Chonger, how are you?
Well, you know, ready to go. Ready to go Friday night. Should be lots of fun.
Do you have a band name?
We're totally open to suggestions. We want expectations to be very low. We're willing to do this, and you know, throw yourself under the bus for charity. It's always good times. So why not, hey?
Well, Rashad, like I've told everybody off the top, that was our breaking story, bigger than that Babcock guy, whatever. I've heard actually both of you can actually sing. You know, you're not hacks like myself. You can actually sing.
But you need to not raise expectations at all. We need to get up there with everybody expecting us to be horrible. We need to underpromise and overdeliver. So no, we will be terrible. It's going to be ugly. We've been fighting all morning on song choices. Like the band might break up before it even gets on stage.
Oh, well, I did make a prediction that you two prima donnas would be like a one show performance, and then the boy band would break up.
That's it. Yeah, he just claimed my head got way too big, and that was it. Oh. I was out of the band.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, should be fun though. Why not? Hey.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be great. It's I'm looking forward to it. So and
nothing
now
nothing can be worse than you dragging me up on stage for the last song a couple of years ago and us destroying Backstreet Boys, whatever that was.
Well, yeah, you were.
You can't go worse than that.
Yeah, it's true. That's very true. So this will be a lot. And the thing is, I know you and Cassian will take it very serious. So I'm more so interested on what costumes you will come out in. That's going to be the thing that I'm looking forward
to. Yeah. Well, we're trying to get the bright white unitards, but we're not sure if those are we can get those delivered in time. So might just be jeans and a button up shirt.
Oof, nice. Mike Babcock, $6.25 million. What do you think?
Well, I would be very interested to know at this point what Todd McClellan's making, because I think that Todd was probably the in a lot of people's minds, kind of the fallback plan. And boy, that's a big difference money-wise, I would imagine, between the two of them. So that is a huge amount of money to pay a guy. It makes sense that the Maple Leafs would pony up that much money. Their organization's kind of been in a bit of a tailspin for the last few years, and they need to do something drastic. So, it makes sense that it's the Leafs. It makes sense that it's that much money. I think that's the only way they could have got Mike Babcock to go there. And what I'm finding interesting right now is the reports coming out of Buffalo about the Sabres once again being left at the altar. I mean, the draft lottery was bad enough, and now standing there angry as all get out that Mike Babcock, I guess, they felt like he made them feel like it was a done deal, and now he's a member of the Maple Leafs. So the poor Sabres are just getting stomped on again.
Yeah, well, and that happens in negotiations, right? You have, was he serious? We'll never know. I'm sure Babcock will say, hey, I was really close to Buffalo and Toronto just came up with a better offer. I couldn't refuse. And, you know, I can understand why the lure of going to Toronto, if you are the coach that can bring a Stanley Cup to that team, like, you'll go down in infamy forever, right? So I get it. Plus, I'm not sure if Pagula would have got outbid, honestly. I don't know if money really was out. I'm sure Buffalo would have went to 6.25.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, John Vogel, who works out of Buffalo, is reporting that, I mean, the Sabres didn't really engage in some big bidding war against the Leafs. They made their pitch, and they kind of waited for the answer and thought they were going to get them. But no, I think for $500,000 in either direction, it probably wouldn't have made that much of a difference to either team. The term is the part that's, man, 8 years for a coach, that's just, wow. I mean, and I guess it gives him stability. I'm not sure if it's being officially reported or if we know if there's an out clause for Babcock in there. But that term, to commit to one guy, that's a long time, especially with a rebuilding team. I mean, you can in the span of 8 years, you can rebuild a team, win a championship or two, and then still be sick to death of your head coach and have him fight. What was the timeline for Dan Bylsma in Pittsburgh with a team that was a championship team to all of a sudden it just wasn't a good fit anymore? So 8 years is a long, long time. And that's, Ken Holland is a smart general manager. He's a smart, methodical, plotting general manager. He wouldn't touch an 8-year deal. 5 years was the absolute most he was willing to put on the table. And really, that may well have been a deal breaker for Babcock. Holland said he wasn't willing to go past 5 years.
Yeah, and you know, I can understand that. I totally get it. And, you know, it's funny. Gary Bettman's probably cringing because the reason Bettman, I think it was Dregs who said, Bettman doesn't want coaches' salaries to go up. You know why? Because the players look at that and say, well, you guys clearly have a ton of money because now you can pay coaches this much money.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all, not every team's going to be able to pay a coach that much money. I mean, teams, this isn't, you know, we're not going to see many $6 million or plus dollar coaches in the next little while. Babcock's a bit of a special case. You know, it makes me wonder. I mean, Daryl Sutter's had a lot of success too, but I mean, he hasn't won the Olympic golds and all those sorts of things. So what happens if a coach that's won the cup a couple times in the last 3-4 years like that hits the market? Do you see Daryl Sutter getting $6 million bucks somewhere? Like, Babcock just seems to be this entity all unto himself. And to have been able to push things as far as he has, there's this sort of legend status that goes with him. I don't know who surpasses that. So this might be a one-off. I don't know that coaches are going to be making regularly $5-6 million bucks plus.
You could be right on that for sure. But it'll bring them all up to, let's say, 3.5, right?
Well, does it bring them all up? I don't know.
Well, no, like the top 10 guys, let's say, right? Because the top 10 guys are all 2 million, right? So now they might all go up to over 3. That's still a pretty significant raise.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting, you know, for Todd McClellan, again, it just shows where his head and his priorities were at. Because, you know, I think you were making the point before all of this happened that if Todd were to wait until after Mike Babcock's situation settled, who knows what that number for Babcock would look like and how that affects whatever Todd McClellan is now capable of going out there and grabbing. Because while he may not be considered on the same level as Babcock in some ways, the rising tide floats all boats, right? So he probably would have been able to have a few teams bidding and have gotten a little bit more. But he wasn't really that worried about it. And again, we don't know what the number is that the Oilers gave him. They gave him good term in 5 years. My guess is it's got to be $3 million plus per year. That's nothing to shake a stick at, but maybe it could have been more had he waited until this week after Babcock got his deal done. But his priority was to go somewhere where he was wanted, where he wanted to be, where he felt like it was a good fit with a good future. And so just credit to Todd McClellan for getting this done early. I think it just shows he legitimately wanted to be here. And you know what? Todd McClellan wanted to be here before the Oilers won the draft lottery. There was interest from him before Connor McDavid was part of the deal.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. And, you know, I honestly don't think Peter Chiarelli only came to Edmonton because they had won the lottery. I believe he would have come here because there was I don't see any other GM vacancies in the NHL right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they needed to, you know, Toronto's going to hire, you know, they're not going to hire somebody who's going to be in position to have autonomy and make all his own decisions. So, yeah, it was a good fit. I mean, Chiarelli was going to land on his feet. He made lots of money in Boston and could have waited a year and could have waited for opportunities. But Bob Nicholson is really at the helm of all of this and is showing a real aggressiveness in going after quick decision-making. And that's not something we've seen a lot of in the organization. And I think I'd say you have to give him a lot of credit because he's not making quick decisions and we're all shaking our head and raising our eyebrows at it. I mean, he made a quick decision and got a very experienced, well-respected general manager to sign on long-term. And then as a result of that, they acted very quickly together and got a very well-respected veteran coach to sign on. So what's next? And I think it's a couple of really bold, aggressive moves by Bob Nicholson, and that's a good sign of leadership from him to have these things done already.
And Ryan, the other news, Joe Haggerty had it, and you know, we talked about it earlier. The Oilers are going to have to compensate the Bruins with a second round pick in either 15, 16, or 17. And I've heard from a lot of people that I talked to in management that basically the NHL butchered this interpretation of the rule. This when they first read the rule, when it was written, it was supposed to be so if you lose an assistant coach or an assistant GM to another team, not that, hey, you fire your guy, clean your hands of him, that you're still getting compensation. Like there's a lot of teams upset about this, and rightfully so. Do you think it gets changed?
Brutal. Oh, it's totally brutal. It's a terrible rule, and it's going to cost franchises dearly here. So you know, let me ask you this. Todd Nelson is under contract with the Edmonton Oilers. So here's Todd Nelson, a guy who's he's been a good soldier for this organization.
Mm-hmm.
And he has done what's been asked of him, put in his time, probably deserves to be on a head on a bench in the NHL somewhere, but timing might prevent that from happening. So this these are the kinds of people that rule is going to kill. Because do you think somebody is going to give Todd Nelson a shot with compensation potentially being owed to the Oilers? I mean, that's and really that's what the rule was meant for. I mean, if somebody wants to come and hire Todd Nelson, who's on an AHL coaching deal with the Oilers to be their NHL coach, well, then there's compensation for the organization. But it's a terrible rule when it's somebody who's essentially been let go. It's terrible. It's putting people in terrible positions, and it's a joke. So now that'll end up being a third-round pick for the coach and a second-round pick for the general manager. If both those guys do their job well, it'll be draft picks well spent. But still, it's a joke. It shouldn't be happening. They should have found a way to close the loophole, and it's not in the spirit at all of why the thing was originally put in place.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. And if you're the Edmonton Oilers, A, I think you're agreeing to do it in 2017 in the hopes that the rule might change between now and then, right? Because if the NHL can go back on their word for the New Jersey Devils losing a first-round pick, they sure as heck can go back on this.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And I think they'll want to push it as far as they can because the longer they push it, the better the team, the idea is, will be, and then the less value that pick will have. But it needs to change. So I have a lot of questions right now with regard to Todd Nelson, and maybe we'll find out in the days to come. But are the Oilers allowing him to speak to other teams, first and foremost? Are they allowing him to speak with other teams with head coaching vacancies right now? Would they be looking for any form of compensation should somebody want to come and hire Todd Nelson? I don't think the Oilers should. I think if that's going to be prohibitive in terms of letting Nelson move on, I don't think they should be. I think they should be allowing him to talk to anybody he wants to talk to right now. And I don't think that the Oilers should be looking for compensation. I think this is a special circumstance, and I hope that they treat Nelson right in this regard.
I would agree with you on that one. It is a business, and I can understand he's frustrated at basically being overlooked three times for the job. And, you know, I understand more so this time why he was. Like, Todd McClellan just has a better resume, flat out, right?
It's the Dallas Eakins one, right?
Yeah. I mean, even the Ralph Krueger one.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Even the Ralph Krueger one. So you mean even when they hired Ralph ahead of Todd?
Mm-hmm.
That you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, the real slap in the face would have been when they hired one of his colleagues.
Yeah.
I mean, they hired...
without even interviewing him.
Yeah, and he had similar experience and similar... I mean, that would be like Ken Holland going out and hiring a coach from the American Hockey League right now that isn't Jeff Blashill. I mean, that's his guy. They've been grooming that guy, developing that guy. What message does that send to Blashill? Well, he'd be out of there, right? Like, that was a tough one for Todd Nelson to take, I'm sure. They went out and hired a guy that coaches in the same league he does, and he'd been with the organization for, 3 years at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can't remember exactly what it was. But so I hope they do right by him in terms of allowing him to explore all of his options. There are coaching vacancies right now. There are teams on the dance floor looking for a dance partner, and it's the San Jose Sharks, and it's the Buffalo Sabres, and it's the, maybe not the St. Louis Blues anymore. There are teams out there with openings, and I would hope that Todd has the green light to go out there and explore some of those without the threat of the team. I don't know that a team's willing to do a second round pick when it's a guy that doesn't have the experience or a third round pick that a Todd McClellan does. It's one thing to give that compensation up when you're getting that kind of a name. It's another when you're giving someone their first shot. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, no, wholeheartedly agree on that one, Ryan. Wholeheartedly agree. So, we will see what happens. Get your voice tuned up. Get your tickets. You know, the crowd reaction is a big part. Well, not a big part, but it's about 15% of the overall vote by the judges. So be sure to pack the house with some of your friends.
All right. Sounds good, man. I'll dole out a bunch of cash to pack the stands and have people yell and scream at the top.
I think your friends will more than willingly pay to see you sing karaoke.
What's the prize? I mean, what are cats going to walk away with?
$1,000 cash prize for first place.
Wow. But we're going against like legit competitors, right? Like this.
Oh yeah, and everybody's in the same pool. You know, you guys just got lucky, as you know, you kind of got gift wrapped an opportunity. Now you got to take advantage of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, giddy up. Let's get on it.
All right, man. We'll see you Friday night.
Okay. Sounds good, buddy.